schools teach Latin anymore, but when I was in school, they still taught Latin. But anyway, you may have had a year, 2 years of Spanish. Studied. Passed midterms. Got a good grade. Couldn't a bit more speak Spanish than you could rise and fly. Can't do it. Didn't study. Yes, you studied. You learned all the vocabularies. You learned the conjugation. You learned the declensions and all of that. You learned the grammar rules. You made a good grade. You can't speak the language. Why? So far as learning the language is concerned, we have never been as bright as we were when we were 4, 5, 6 years old. You see, people are bright or dense in different ways, on different levels, at different ages of time. Most of you here are old enough to remember. You remember the little puzzle they used to call Rubik's Cube? You remember how you'd spin it around, you'd try to get all the sides lined up? And do you remember seeing on television somebody be on there and they'd spin the... I never did. Well, I picked up one time, lasted about 5 minutes, never got anything done with it. But do you remember when they'd have folks on there, they'd spin them around, they'd just line them up right quick. You remember how many college professors there were on television working those things? No. No college professors. No engineers. No brain surgeons on television working Rubik's Cube. Who was it that worked it? 6 and 8, 10 year olds. They could spin it around, they could do it. Old folks couldn't handle it. Do you see? You see those, we're all bright or dense on different levels. You know, there's a tension between men and women. Who's the brighter? Neither one. Men are brighter in some ways, women are brighter in other ways. When it comes to logical, systematic reasoning, generally men have somewhat of the edge. That's the reason the wife is always getting the husband to fix things. It's not because she's just trying to get out of it. She knows that he generally can fix things better than she can. When it comes to intuition, instinct, boys, we're not in the running. We're just not in the running. We talk about a woman's instinct, a mother's instinct. That's not a figment of our imagination. There are things that women pick up on long before the man ever does. You know, we hate to think about it, but among our primitive Baptist people, a few times we've had preachers that have gone bad. Now, we don't like to think about it, but it has happened. We live in the real world. You think back on it. And any preacher that ever went bad, if you know any, you may not know any of it. You look back, the women picked up on it a long time before the men ever did. The men were fooled in that a long time after the women knew exactly what was about to happen. You see, they have an instinct. They have an intuition that we men just don't have, not in that manner. You don't need a different system for the young folks. Just preach the truth and power the best you can. And they'll pick up some of it. And the old folks will pick up some of it. And nobody hears all of it. Do you see? You see, people in the congregation, whether it's young folks or old people, they tune the preacher out. They don't mean to. If it's another preacher in the pulpit, the pastor can be sitting over there. And the pastor a lot of times will be thinking about something else. Sometimes there'll be a preacher up in the pulpit preaching with power. And I'm sitting over there trying to listen, and I can't listen to save my life. I'm already on the job Monday morning. I could have had a job. I'm already lining out what I'm going to do tomorrow or what I should have done yesterday. You folks have the same trouble. I know you do. We're all cut from the same bolt of cloth, do you see? The congregation's not with the preacher every moment of the time. The young folks are not. The old folks are not. Every now and then when I go away filling an appointment like this, after I've preached, folks will come through the line, shake my hand. Brother preacher, we enjoyed what you had to say. Sometimes old folks will say that and they don't mean a word of it. I mean, that's just the thing to say, you know. Man drove miles and miles to get here. You got to brag on him and tell him how what a great job that he did, even if you don't mean it. Now, if the young folks say it, they generally mean it. And every now and then, not often, but every now and then I go away, and one of the young folks will come through. Little fella. Preacher, I enjoyed your preaching. I can understand what you're talking about. You know, I came to the conclusion a long time ago that if you will preach clearly enough that the young folks can understand it, the old folks shouldn't have too much problem. You know, I think that one problem that preachers have is this. We go to the pulpit and we want to impress somebody. We had a preacher that came through our country years ago, finally got in trouble among our people. But anyway, he came through filling some appointments. He was staying at my house, stayed a week. And several nights into his appointments, he asked me, "Brother Hunt," he said, "how are people impressed with my preaching?" Well, now, I didn't say what I should have said, what I wanted to say. I tell you what I wanted to say. I wanted to say, "Now, Brother Preacher, you didn't weren't supposed to be here to impress people. You're supposed to be here to feed the sheep." But I didn't say what probably I should have said. But do you know, sometimes the preacher forgets what his job is. It's not my job to impress people. It's my job to preach the gospel. And if the preacher will keep that in mind, he has a whole lot less trouble. You know, we preachers talk about what a difficult job this job of preaching is, and we could talk all day about what a difficult job it is. But do you know one reason that the job is so tough? We make it tough on ourselves. James said, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." He's unstable because he's trying to go in two directions at once. I lived just the other side of the Smoky Mountains. The church I served for several years was called the Smoky Mountain Church. We had a young man to rise up in the church, and I finally talked him into calling him to pastor the church. And now all I do is what you see right here. I fill in for preachers that do have churches. But anyway, it's an entertainment area. And one of the attractions over there is a rodeo. It's called Dixie Stampede. Some of you may have been there. But anyway, years ago, one of my sons-in-law was having a birthday, and we took him, our daughter, up there for the show, for dinner, and watched the rodeo. And part of that rodeo, there was somebody that came out of there riding two horses at the same time, standing up. I mean, he had his foot, one foot on one horse, and one foot on the other horse, and he just went around and around like lightning. I don't know how in the world he could do that. I don't know why he'd want to. I mean, if there's ever a man risking taking a chance on breaking his neck, he was taking a chance. But you know, so very often when the preacher goes to the pulpit, he has one eye on the Lord and one eye on himself. He wants to give all the honor, all the credit, all the praise to the Lord. And still at the same time impress people with his own ability and let folks go away thinking that that's a pretty good preacher. So he's double-minded. And you know, over the years I've thought about that man riding those two horses. About the only person I can think of who is in a more vulnerable situation than that man trying to ride two horses. Well, he didn't try, he did it. He didn't fall off. The only person I can think of who is more vulnerable than that man riding two horses is the preacher when he goes to the pulpit and tries to give the Lord the proper credit and still impress somebody there in the congregation. You talk about anybody that's in danger of falling off. We preachers talk about how many times we've fallen off. That's the reason. That's the reason we fall off so much. You see, we try to ride two horses, and you after a while, you're going to fall off. We meet out at the Lord's house. God lifts up the little preacher boy, enables him to preach in a manner that is a benefit to the Lord's people. But sometimes the preacher makes this mistake. We all make the mistake and we worry too much about what folks think of us. You know, sometimes somebody will come around to the preacher after he's preached and talk about what deep preaching that was. Have you ever heard that expression, deep preaching? I've learned that people don't mean exactly what they say, but somebody says that sure is a deep preacher. I love to hear him. When somebody talks about what a deep preacher that is, I understand the person to mean, I sure do like to listen to him. But I don't have the slightest idea what he's talking about. You know, I'm convinced that we stand a whole lot more need of simple preaching, plain preaching, than we do of deep preaching. I believe we need preaching that folks can understand, something that folks can take home with you. And I just believe that if we make it plain enough for the little ones, old folks shouldn't have too much trouble. And do you know, I've had somebody come around a time or two. Here a while back, somebody came through the line and said, Brother Hunt, I enjoyed that. That was deep preaching. Kind of hurt my feelings, really. I wasn't trying to be deep. But do you know, I've never had anybody come through the line and say, Brother Hunt, I enjoyed that, but that was too simple. Never have. Never have had anybody complain, Brother Hunt, that was too simple. I don't believe the gospel can be too simple. And you know, it's one of the amazing things about the gospel. When you go through the Bible looking for deep, dark, mysterious subjects, the Bible is just filled with deep, dark, mysterious subjects that you'll never unravel. But I've noticed, if you go through the Bible looking for simple lessons, the Bible is just filled with simple lessons. There are enough simple lessons in this book that a preacher can spend the rest of his life talking about simple things. And do you know the other side of that coin is this? When you go through the Bible looking for simple lessons, very difficult subjects have a way of becoming simple. But if you go through the Bible looking for deep, dark mysteries, simple principles have a way of becoming dark and mysterious. Let us stand and sing. We publish the open door of the church. If there's one who desires a home in the church, in any way that Old Baptists receive members, you come forward and this church will hear you. What is your selection?
124, the first three and last verse.
Let us stand and sing. Do you shake hands at the close of the service? Some churches do, some don't. I was down in South Georgia. They just, some of those churches down there generally do.
Page 124. First three and last verse. How firm they found shall be saints of the Lord. It is laid for your day. Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for this day. Thank Thee for the privilege of visiting with Thy children here at this place. We thank Thee, Lord, for their fellowship, and especially, Lord, we thank Thee for the presence and for the witness of Thy Spirit, which we are convinced has been in our midst here today. We pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst bless this church with Thy choice blessing. Bless them, Lord, in finding, receiving, accepting the pastor, that Thou wouldst send their way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Pleasure's mine. I've enjoyed it.
Before you come back.
Thank you. What is your name?
Mary Lou Joyce.
Thank you.
My membership's Columbia Church in Maryland.
Columbia?
You've been there.
No, I haven't.
I thought you were saying
no. Maybe Ghana. Was he about a head taller than that?
I don't know. I've read that, but Brother Compton was telling me about it.
No, I haven't been to him.
You know James Compton?
I know who he is, but I don't know if I've ever met him. I've heard the name forever. Well, I hear good things about him, but no, I've never been to that church, I'm sure.
You ever go, you won't forget.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. What is your name?